Praise God. Amen. When you find your place, stand up. Amen. Stand up. This, I'm going to ask you to stand up today for the reading of the word. You were sitting down for a little while. There we go. Find our place at Matthew chapter 2. When you get to chapter 2, we're going to begin at verse 1 through 2. And then we're going to read verse 11 together. Amen. So verses 1 and 2 and then verse 11. Are you there? Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to read verse 11, okay? Let us read. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Look at verse 11. Let us read. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Amen. Hallelujah. May there be a blessing unto the readers, the hearers, and the doers of his word. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor it's all about him. Amen. You may have your seats this morning. Amen. In the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am grateful for the worship that has come thus far. And I'm not going to be before you long. I'm going to try to get you out of here. Amen. Very quickly here. But we have a word, though, from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I want to speak from the subject of we come to worship him. We come to worship him. And as you have already sensed in the house of the Lord that there has been a spirit of worship in the house this morning from the very beginning all the way through to the children, that there was a sense of worshiping him. And this season that we're in, what we call in the natural the Christmas season, I always like to say that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. He is truly the reason for the season. Many times the messages can get mixed up, misplaced, amen, and all types of things, but we need to know that this season in which we live in, and not just this season, but all season long, is the season and the times that we are to worship him. I want to deal with this word worship today, and I want us to understand that when we come not only to this house, but when you go into your house and this house right here, amen, we should always desire to worship him. We're going to look here. We see that this is one of these stories, the story according to the Matthew here. And then we also have the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. And I may, we won't go over the other day, but we may talk about some of the things that took place over there. We see two different sets of people. We see a group of people after Jesus Christ had come to Mary and to Joseph and explained to them that she was going to have a baby and the baby would be of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joseph lost his mind. Said, "What? How's she going to have a baby without me?" Amen. That angel had to tell him, brother, this is a child of the Most High. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is going to come from on high. A gift from above is going to come down and she's going to have a baby. Amen. She didn't even understand it. But she says, "According to thy word, amen, be it done unto me." Amen. He says, "You're blessed and you're highly favored." Amen. See, when you're blessed and highly favored, some things just happen to you. It's called the favor of God. It just come up on you. Amen. And this is what happened to her. And we understand that there was a sound that went out. Amen. And the angels came and worshiped. And those shepherds in the field in Luke. Here in the book of Matthew, we see that they also talk about that there was a group of wise men, the Magi, M-A-G-I, that these men, that they came and they brought gifts to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But more importantly, they came to worship him. Amen. And so today I want to spend a little time with you talking about worship. We have developed this word in this house. The word worship is the word proskuneo. I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite words in the Bible, but it means to bend, to kneel, to scoop forward, and to kiss. And this is when we're talking about worship, This is the type of worship that we're talking about here, because you would even see here in verse 11, it says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. There was a falling down and worshiping him. That word worship is that word proskuneo, again, to prostrate oneself before another, to and a place to revere and to adore. And I'm here to tell you that this is where that we shall all want to be as worshipers. You know, we heard it in the songs that was sung today. We adore you. We worship and bow before you. This is worship. This is the God kind of worship. And this is the type of worship. So when we come to the house and when we come into this season and all season long, we want to be worshipers of God. Amen. And today I want to deal with some characteristics of worshipers. Amen. So that you know, if you don't know what it means to be a worshiper, you're going to know what it means today. Amen, to be a worshiper. And it's just not going to be my opinion. We're going to see the ones that worship him. Amen. We just look at the word. Amen. And I believe this is going to liberate some folks today. I believe it's going to set some folks free and say, it's okay to worship him. It's okay to do it. And it's okay to do it. Amen. It's okay to relax and get loose in doing it too. Amen. You ain't got to be all uptight about worshiping the Lord. You ain't got to be proper and formal about doing that thing. Amen. Nah, he wants all of you. Amen. He wants you, as Pastor Angela would like to say, some undignified praise and some undignified worship here. And so we're going to deal with this today because, believe it or not, we're going to see this today. See, what your life is about is who you're worshiping. That's deep right there. What your life is about, this thing comes down to who are you willing to worship? Because you're going to worship somebody. Amen. Whether you'll worship yourself, You worship other people. All of these things we're capable of worshiping. But what you need to know, not only today, but throughout this season, in the season of your life, is that I was born to worship him. Amen. That's why he saved us. Amen. For us to what? Honor him and worship him. Amen. And glorify his name here. Amen. This is the way the psalmist says it in Psalms 95 and 6. We're not going to turn there, but it's there. It says, oh, come, let us worship him and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's what the psalmist said. He said, oh, come and let what? Us worship him. Amen. Worship is not just an individual thing, but it's a corporate thing. And this is why we come into the house of the Lord. We come to worship him corporately. And again, he says, oh, come, let us worship and do what? Bow down. How many of us are in the season that we know how to bow down? Amen. Unto the Lord. Amen. Yeah, it shouldn't be through a song. It should be a voluntarily thing. Amen. We should want to come and bow down because he is a holy and a mighty God, graceful and kind. He is holy and righteous. And when you get to know him, you have no other choice but to bow down. Amen. The more you know him, the more you say, man, I got to worship you. I got to worship you. You are the Lord thy God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God of Eric. You're the God of bread of life. You're the God of my whole household, my family. You're the God over my job. You're the God over my situation. The God over my children. When you come to understand that, amen, that you will begin to worship him, not just individually. And see, that's the deal of it. See, if you can do it individually, you can do it corporately. Yeah. I had to tell you. Many times when we don't do it corporately, it's a sign that we're not doing it individually. Hey, you better get this. Amen. See, because when you done it, amen, by yourself, amen, you ain't got no shame to come do it before other people. Matter of fact, you don't even care what they think. Amen. Because I done been before the high God, and wherever he's at, I'm going to bow down and I'm going to worship him. I'm going to acknowledge that he is in the place. Oh, you thought it might have been about you, but it ain't about you. It's all about him. And see, we must understand this, that as we walk this thing out in our life, that it's always about him. And the way he knows that it's about him is that we give him the worship that is due his name. That we give him the worship that is due him. I like this. This is interesting because it's different than what other people do. Now, as I was studying and writing this out, I was thinking about many different things. When I think about dignitaries, like in Asia, when they in Asia, they come up to a dignitary, someone important, they bow down to one another. You go to the Middle East, they do the kiss. Amen. You see that going on here. And here, what we do in the United States when we see a dignitary, we usually stand up. And if like the president, we what? We salute. We salute him. We see folks saluting him all the time. He is the commander in chief. And so when he comes down off of that Marine One or Air Force One, you know, the helicopter of the plane, they usually salute him. And anyone that's in uniform, any soldier, salutes him. They are showing a respect and they're revering him and they're honoring him. It's a type of worship. And our worship is a worship, and it's much like that, but our worship is different when we worship the Most High God. I might salute over here. I might kiss like that over here. I might bow down, but when it come to God, I stoop down. I kneel before my maker. Amen. I bow down. And matter of fact, that word worship means I prostrate myself. I mean, I lay flat on out. Amen. When I come and worship the Most High God, I'm talking about we come to worship him. Amen. We want to know what our worship is all about. Amen. And today we're going to learn the characteristics of a worshiper. And we're going to see it through these men here who came to worship him, who came to worship him. The first thing I believe and I see in this message that we have here, we see that these were men. It says verse 1, 2 and 1. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came what? Wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Wise men, amen. They came from the east, amen. We said, well, I taught him some years ago, wise men do it, still seek him. But not only that, wise men worship him, amen. They worship him. It says, now where is he that is born king of the Jews? I want to say this to you. First of all, people, a characteristic of someone that worships the Lord or that is a worshiper, number one, is that they are directed. Somebody say directed. Directed. Amen. Yes, sir. They direct. Something causes us to worship. Amen. Something on the inside of us causes us to worship God. Look here. It says down verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Amen. So what did they see? They seen a what? A star in the east. Amen. And that star is the thing that what directed him where Jesus was at. Look down at verse 8. It says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. This is Herod. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, this is Herod talking to the wise men. Look, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, what? So the what? The star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So, see, they was directed. See, when you worship the Lord, you would be directed in your worship. Well, what directs us, Pastor? The Holy Ghost. The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. The Spirit leads us and directs us. And look, and the Spirit gonna worship the Most High God. He gonna bring us in that place when the presence of God is in the place. He leads us to worship. He leads us to bow down and prostrate ourselves, or to lift up holy hands, or to open up our mouths. Amen. See, many times when we're not comfortable at doing that is because we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to what? Lead us. And some of us got to get out of being the chosen frozen and allow God to flow through your life by way of the Holy Ghost. I'm not just who I am because my name is Eric. No, it's because the Holy Ghost, I allow him to flow through me and do what he want to do. If I was sitting here being paralyzed by the people, I'm telling you, man, that listen, people would paralyze you. You can get paralyzed by the people, but the Holy Ghost is not going to allow you to get paralyzed. Holy Ghost is going to say, loosen up. Get yourself together, because we get ready to go worship the Most High God. So people that have that worship the Lord thy God, we're talking about we come to worship him. A characteristic is that they are directed. These men, they were directed. They had this star that showed up. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, I wonder where you are. Amen. They had a star. See, but the thing of it is we can't get caught up in the star. We got to get caught up where the star is leading us to. Oh, God, no. You hear what I'm saying? You see, some of us can get caught up in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, in the movings, in the wooings of the Holy Ghost, that we don't understand what the Holy Ghost is doing through us. You see what I'm saying? You can't get caught up in the star. The star is what leads you. The star is what helps you to worship. See, I think about it in the earth. It's like the movie star. How we can sometimes get caught up in the movie star. You know what I'm saying? Amen. We even got Dancing with the Stars. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. We got all kind of stars. They even got the porn stars. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. You know what I'm saying? All these stars that we can get caught up in, and none of them, amen, the most of them are not leading us to him. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. So we must understand that this star that these men had, it directed them. And what I'm saying, true worshipers, because Jesus Christ says, they that worship my Father going to worship him in what? Spirit, and also in what? True. True worshipers are spirit-led worshipers. They are what? Directed. They are directed. Look, your body can't help but to do something. You got to let go and worship the Most High God. Amen. You better get used to it down here. Because when you get up there, the Bible tells me that the angels are already worshiping him, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb of God. Man, if you ain't used to it down here, brother, you're going to have a sad time up there. But they were directed. They were directed. They were directed. Look, man, look, even though they were directed, they said, we're not going to be delayed. They ran up there on Herod. And Herod tried to, Herod tried to slow him up. Yeah. Well, Herod said, wait right here now. Y'all let's do this. He talked to all his people. But Herod tried to delay them. He said, no, we can't be delayed. The second thing, let's move on here. The first thing is that they were directed. You got that? Yeah. The second thing, a person that worships the Lord thy God, who comes to him and to worship him, and that are true worshipers, number two, that they are determined. You're determined. I'm going. This is how David said. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. David was determined to worship God. These men right here, they were determined. They had made up in their mind that they were determined. When they seen the star, they made up in their mind that they were determined that they were going to do this. What they were saying was, nothing is going to stop me from worshiping the Lord thy God. See, this word determined means having made up a firm decision and being resolved not to change it. To make up a firm decision and being resolved not to change it. What you're saying is, I am determined to do this thing. I have made a decision in my mind. I have got resolved with it. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm committed to it. What? I'm going to worship him. See, these men, you got to understand, they came from the east. And they traveled all the way to Jerusalem. And they were not going to let anything stop them to change their mind because they were determined. Amen. So a worshiper that worships the Lord thy God, a true worshiper, is someone that is determined that I'm going to will myself, even when my flesh don't want to do it. I'm going to determine. I'm determined I'm going to the house of the Lord. I'm determined that I'm going to get up and praise God in the morning. I'm determined I'm going to open up my word, amen, and read my word and let the word read me. I'm determined that I'm going to do this thing. This is called a worshiper, and we have come to do what? Worship him. So if we want to be true worshipers, we got to be people that are directed and people that are determined to do this thing. The third thing that we see here in the scripture, again, the second thing, that they were determined to do this. They weren't going to let anything stop them from doing what God had. They sensed that had this star had came and they had heard the word in the old and this prophecy had come to pass. And they say that we're determined. Nothing is going to stop us. No distance, no matter how far it is, it's not going to stop us. We're going to be determined to do this thing. The third thing we see that they were demonstrative in their worship. They were demonstrative. What you say? I'm saying they weren't reserved. They broke out. What you mean, Pastor? Look at what this is. It says, verse 2 and 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Now, who was the king? Herod was the king. He was born at a time when the children of Israel were in a bondage. And Herod was the king over the children of Israel, over God's people. They were in bondage. And Herod was the heathen king. I'm reminded over there when they said there's another king. king. Amen. Oh, God, you see another king getting ready to be born. Amen. So there's another king. And so you see these wise men, they have already known the scriptures. They knew what was coming on. And this was a prophecy that was coming to pass. And so it's much like the shepherds when the light shone around them and when they were told that there was going to be a baby and the sign that he's going to be wrapped in a wonder in a cloth. And it went on to say, even in that particular instance, I tell you, let's turn over there. We're coming back here. Let's turn over there. Go to Luke 2 in chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 2 and 8. Because we're talking about, this is demonstrative. The third thing is demonstrative. Luke chapter 2. And get over near verse, let's see. Let me get over there and see where we want to go here. Look at verse 12. Amen. Verse 11. Oh, my God. Look at verse 10. Amen. Look at verse 8. Let's just go on and start at the start of the story. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 8. I know. These scriptures be saying, Pastor, please say something about me. All right, I'm going to say something about you, verse 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were what? So afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior, which is what? Christ, what? The Lord. So you see, the angel shows up and makes an announcement to these guys here. And look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's going to be the sign. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. You hear that? They all look like a whole bunch of angels. And this heavenly host are like soldiers of angels. They come and they're ready for a commandment. They're ready to do. And they came there. It says, and suddenly there was an angel of multitude of heavenly hosts praising what? God. Look, I know they weren't quiet. You hear what I'm saying? Look. We got to be able to outdo the angels. He sent the angels to minister to us. If the angels going to praise them, you better know we got to praise them. See, because the angels don't have the insight that we have. See, they may be angelic. They may be flying around and doing all of that. But they ain't got what we got. No, they were not given what we were given. And if the angels going to praise them, you better know we got to praise them. Amen. And I don't believe they were sitting up there with their mouth closed and just standing still. I believe them wings was flapping and they were saying, holy, 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 holy. Because he's been born. He's been born. And he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we're showing up in multitude just worshiping him. Just worshiping him. See, what I'm saying, you see, your worshiper do something to somebody else too. This is why it got to be demonstrative. Amen. You can't just hold this thing in. This thing got to get out. Amen. And when it get out, it get on somebody else. Look at this thing here. Look what happens. It says, now it's verse 14. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord have made known unto us. And they came with what? Haste. They bust a move. Amen. They were demonstrative even in their actions. When they seen them angels break out like that, they said, man, we got to get over here and see this thing. And it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made what? Known abroad. You hear that? They made what? They did what? They went and did what? They said, what did the children say? Go tell somebody. Yes, sir. They looked at that thing and said, we got to go tell somebody about this thing here. They went back into the city and told everybody that they seen. It was like the woman that was at the well. Oh, my God. Like the woman that was at the well. When she encountered him, he said, now, if you knew that I was the gift of God, you would have asked me to drink. Amen. And I would have gave you what? Living water. And then he started talking to her and she get into talking about worship. Oh, he said, now you don't know who you worship. Your worship, your father's worship. She said, well, my father, we worship up in the mountains. And then he says, look, you ain't going to worship up in the mountains. Neither will you worship up in Jerusalem. Amen. But they that worship the Lord thy God shall worship him in what? Spirit and also in truth. Amen. And she was talking about, the prophet is going to be to come. He said, no, I am the one. I am the one that you're looking at is the prophet that's getting ready to come. I am the Son of God. And then the Bible says she dropped a water pot and said, come see a man that has told me everything about me. Mother, I'm telling you, we can't help but to, amen, when you get in this presence, you can't help but to be demonstrative. You can't help but to shout. You can't help but to tell somebody else about him. You can't help but to do it. You can't, when you encounter him, you can't help but to do it. You can't help but to do it. These men, they were demonstrative. Let me tell you what they did. Go back over to the text where we're at here. Let's go back over. I want you to see what these boys did over here in Matthew 11 and look at verse 1 again. He says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Doing what? Doing what? Doing what? Look, they didn't show up quietly. They didn't show up and said, oh, we're afraid of Herod, the king that is in command. Now, these are wise men. They're coming up loud and proud. They're coming up talking. Look what they say. They say, not only did they say something, they asked the question. They said, saying, where is he that is what? Born king of the Jews. For we have what? Seen his star in the east and are come to do what? Worship him. We don't care what anybody feel about it. We want you to know we're going to be demonstrative in this thing. We come in to tell you that we're going to worship him and him alone. Look, what you got to understand, many of us don't want to offend anybody. But I'm telling you, if you live for Jesus, you're going to be offensive. You're going to offend somebody. And many of us don't want to offend anyone. See, these brothers come up in there so hard, the Bible says Herod was troubled. Herod was troubled. Look at that thing there. It says Herod was troubled because he was a king, but they were coming to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Herod was troubled. And if Herod was troubled, everybody that was worshiping and following Herod was what? They were troubled as well. Because these boys come up here demonstrative. They come in and say, man, look, we've seen the star in the east. Where is he at? Amen. And Herod, I got all shook up. Look at Herod. Look at Herod, verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Amen. Because they're getting ready to build another king. Amen. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Something getting ready to happen. And we know what Herod done. You read verses 4 through 8. Let's just read it. It says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Now he's trying to tell them what to do. They already determined that they're going to do what they're supposed to do. They already been directed, amen, by the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that my sheep shall know my voice. He go Herod now trying to talk. Now Herod going to tell them, when you find him, come and tell me so that I can worship him. Now Herod want to find him so he can kill him. You hear what I'm saying? But thank be to God to the angels. The angels said to them boys, after they had seen Jesus, after they had worshiped him and gave him the gift, look, they were supposed to go back and tell Herod, but the angels said, go on back another way. Oh my God. Herod got duped. You know what I'm saying? Because his heart wasn't right concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wanted to kill him. Amen. I'm thinking about that song. Can't nothing that song y'all sing. Can't heal him. Oh, amen. The one by this resurrection. Can't nothing hold him back, man, and hold him down. So we see here that if we're going to be worshipers, true worshipers, those that worship the Lord thy God in spirit, and also in truth, we got to be directed. And that which is directing us It's called the Holy Spirit. Not only do we have to be directed, but we got to be determined in this thing. We're going to make up our mind that we're going to worship him. Come hell or high water, I'm worshiping the Lord. I'm getting there. I'm going to get at his feet. Amen. I'm making up my mind. I'm determined. And this demonstrative thing that I talked about is the tendency to showing an unfeeling. It's being affectionate, and it's being open with our affection. It also takes on, demonstrative takes on not just moving, but communication, talking about him. I've learned that if I can't talk about him, I ain't going to worship him. Oh, my God. See, you worship who you talk about. Oh, my God. Oh, no, God, not me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship who we talk about. If we talk about them so much, we end up worshiping them. And so we got to talk about him. This is being demonstrative about him, being able to talk about him. And then when you talk about him, people will understand why you worship like you worship, because you talk about him. Amen? Oh, my God. You cannot not talk about him. Amen. To come in his presence and not to talk about him. And so we see here that these men were not only directed, they were determined and demonstrative. But the last thing I want you to see here, that they were decisive. They were decisive. Being decisive is settling an issue. It means providing a defining or a definite result. What I'm saying is, when I'm going to be decisive about a thing, if I start it, I'm going to finish it. You hear what I'm saying? See, but in order to be decisive, I got to be directed. Amen. I got to be determined. I got to be demonstrative in this thing so that people know what I'm trying to do. Yeah, I'm trying to worship him. You need to know. Now, this ain't no CIA mission. This ain't no down low thing. This ain't no secretive type of thing. Nah, I'm here to worship him. I have come to worship him and him alone. That's what I come to do. Oh, yeah, I just need to let you know, amen. Get on, if you ain't comfortable with me and worshiping, you might want to move. You might want to get a seat down. You might want to get somewhere, because look, I'm decisive. I come to the house and I came here to worship him. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I came here to worship him. So I might well go and tell you now. I'm going to worship him. And see, when we come into the house of the God, we should be decisive about this thing. We should come up here with our mind made up. I'm going to worship him no matter what goes on in the house. I'm going to get my worship on. We come to worship him. These brothers were decisive. Look at this thing. Look at verse 9. After he got through telling them all that, it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. You hear that? After they done heard the king run his mouth, after Herod done said, do this and do that, they said they departed. And when they, see, they were decisive about this thing. Yeah, we hear you, but we get ready to go. And soon, in that decisive, soon they stepped out. They go to star again. They directed again. You know what I'm saying? They go to star. Say, we following that star. We going straight to Jesus. They were decisive about this thing. See, their decisiveness was that we were going to find him so that we can what? Worship him. They were decisive about that. When they left from the far east, wherever they were at, before they come to Jerusalem, they were decisive about, I'm not stopping till I get to what he's at, because I'm here to worship him. It's a decisive type of thing. They have determined that they were going to do this thing. So look what happens here in verse 11. It says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they did what? Fell down. Oh, my God. They were decisive, demonstrative about this thing. They broke in there and seen Mary. Hey, Mary. Amen. Mary, don't you know your baby boy? Yeah. I mean, they broke off in there, man. They acknowledged Mary. Don't you know your baby boy was going to be bad? But we come here not to worship you, Mary. We come here to worship him. We stoop down and bow down, and they worship, amen, Jesus. They worship Jesus. See, here goes the thing of it here. It's easy to worship a baby. I mean, too, when I say worship, because worship means to stoop down in the kid. Most of us, when we see a baby, you want to still like, yeah, 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 yeah. You want to do something. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But when they get older. But when they get older. See, some of us are okay with Jesus in the manger or in the inn. But when he get older, even when he got 12, he walked up in there with the lawyers and the doctors. You know what I'm saying? But when he got older and started saying what his daddy was saying, oh man, when he rolled out, amen, to do what he had been called to do, folks then got offended with him. But you got to know how to worship him early, amen. Amen. Yes, sir. You got to, it's like tithing. You got to know how to get in on that early. You better learn how to worship him early so you can keep worshiping him. Got to have an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Because he's going to grow up on you. Amen. He ain't going to stay a little baby to you. He's going to grow up and he's going to expect you to grow with him. Yes, sir. Yeah, he is the measuring rod. He is the word. He is the one that we measure ourselves by. And so he wants us to grow up. So yeah, we can adore him then he's a baby. But yeah, we got to grow with him, man. He growing up, yes sir. You growing up so you can go up, amen. And so we see here that what they did, they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And see what we must understand here. These men were decisive, and we got to be decisive. You know, they gave him these particular gifts here. The gold deals with the royalty, the frankincense with divinity, and the myrrh, which is an embalming type of that, deals with his suffering. And these gifts represented that. But I began to say, well, Holy Ghost, when we come and we're decisive about this thing, are we just going to drop some gifts off? What are we going to give? Then he took me back over to Romans chapter 3, where Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, not as a dead, a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service or worship. Now, you start out with the act of service. You start it out. It's your reasonable act of worship. Oh, my God. So when we come to worship him, we're decisive because we're trying to break through whatever. Amen. I'm getting there. I'm going to do what I got to do. Because when I come to worship him, I'm worshiping him with everything that I got. I get my life. I worship him with my life. I ain't talking about with my stuff. I'm talking about with my life. That's what he wants from us. This is the worship he wants for us. He wants us to give our lives wholeheartedly, completely, head to toe in everything. When you worship him with all that you have. You come and bring. He don't want all that other stuff. He wants you. He wants us. So when we come to worship him, the characteristics of a worship, repeat after me, say, I must be directed. I must be determined. I must be demonstrative. And I must be decisive when I come to him to worship him. I'm telling you, boy, if you get this thing down, I'm telling you, you let this word get on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, you get those things, when you read your Bible, it'll jump up off the paper. Oh, dad, go. I got to be determined. I got to be demonstrative about this thing. I got to be directive and decisive in this thing when I come to worship him. Now, I said a statement earlier, and I want to qualify this as we begin to close here. Because what I want you to understand, the most important thing, what your life is all about, is about your worship. I'm even reminded, thank you, Holy Spirit, I'm reminded of Noah when they flooded the earth, Sister Kim, when they flooded the earth and everything, and when they come back out, one of the first things that Noah done was build an altar. Oh, my God. An altar for what? To worship. Even though they had to sacrifice these things, but it was their type of worship back then. And in the New Testament for us, we are the worshipers. Amen. We are the sacrifice. We are the one that gets it. He gave his life. And if he gave his life, what he wants us to do is to give our lives. Amen. On behalf of the Most High God. And this is what God wants. When we come to worship him in the season, he wants us to give our lives. Now, I want to say this to you as I begin to descend here, because I'm going to go to the book of Revelation, and there are going to be some things that we're going to see here, but I'm going to go over to Matthew here in the beginning, because I want us to see this. I want us to understand that what this season is about and what your life is about, it's about your worship. It's about your worship. If the devil can get you to worship him or to worship yourself then you're worshiping him, because pride is him. And if he can get you to worship yourself and to worship him, he knows he has it. It's about your worship. Look at this. Go to me with Matthew chapter 4. We have a few more scriptures we're going to read here. We're going to do some reading. We're going to do some reading right now. Amen. And I want to qualify why it's important for you to have these characteristics of a worshiper, to be a true worshiper. You got to have these characteristics. You're Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 1 and 2, and then we'll go down to verse 8 and 11. This is when Jesus Christ was being tempted here by the devil. I talked about this last week, but we didn't turn to the scripture. Look at verse 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards what? And hungered. He was weak and hungry. Weak, hungry, and isolated. You hear what I'm saying? Look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." He asked him a question. The devil will always question who you are in Christ. If thou be. See, because if he can get you doubting about who you are in Christ, he can get you doubting about your worship, who you worship. Because you're going you're gonna worship the one that's leading you. You're going to worship the one that you're following. And so he began to deal with it. He says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And I'm not going to get into the stones to be made bread. He goes to the next one. He tells him, "You'll cast yourself down." But I want to pick up in verse 8, because this is what I want us to see here about worship. He says again, so this is the third time that he's been approached. "The devil taketh him up." I've always spoke to you. You got to watch who taking you up. See, because we all want to get up and go up, but you got to make sure who taking you up. Amen. And who you worship is who going to take you up. Amen. And so we want to learn how to worship him and him alone. He dealt with them when they built the calf in the Old Testament. Yeah, they went down there and, you know, Moses, which was a type and shadow of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was up in the mountain, him and Aaron and those guys up in the mountain. And boy, they said, "Man, we hear something going on down there." Amen. And boy, it sounds like it's a voice of rejoicing. And then what else? I said, a sound of rejoicing or a sound of war. But he got down there to see what they were doing. Matter of fact, God told him, "Get on down there. They done got buck wild down there." Yes, sir. That's what God told him. You see? And that's God so good to us. When we up worshiping him, he giving us insight to have oversight. Oh, my God. When you're in worship, you just don't step into worship just to give yourself. Nah, you go to worship to give yourself, because he wants to give himself to you. Oh, my God. He wants to give all of himself unto you. So he said, now, if you can get, I gave my life. Look. See, I put mine up. Now I need you to put yours up. And yours and mine. Look, I call it this way. When the super meet the natural, there's a supernatural thing get ready to take place. He said, now, I'm putting my, God said, I put mine up. Now I need you to put yours up. So we can do some things. So we can get some work done around here. This is what he's saying here. And so they come back down, and they will work. They done built them a fatted calf. It's called idolatry. They done built them an idol. You know what I'm saying? And not only back in the old day, they were worshiping the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Saturn. You remember when Paul came over there and they healed that man and they began to worship? Oh, they said, "Oh, Jupiter and Mercury done come down from high." And they said, "Hold up, don't even put us there." So the people were even back then worshiping the solar systems and everything. See, the danger with our worship, if you don't worship the true and the living God, you'll end up worshiping the creature versus the creator. Stuff that he created. He created the sun, the moon, and the star. And man, he created all of that. And he didn't create that for us to worship that. No, that helps us to know the times of the seasons. He lets us to know the sun. We need the sun, the moon, the star. We need all of that. But that's helped to direct us. But it ain't for us to worship. And he had to deal with folks all the time about worshiping. About worshiping. Now look here. I want you to see this. Look what it says here. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You hear that? He said, "I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." And said unto him, "All these things will I give thee." He's talking to Jesus, the devil. "If thou will what? Fall down and what? Worship me." That's what the devil wanted from Jesus. The same thing he wants from Jesus is the same thing he wants for you. Will you, well, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. This is why I said to don't have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He says those folks that love the world, the love of the Father, not on the inside of them. You can't desire this stuff and let this stuff overtake you. And if it overtake you, and if it becomes your God, if it becomes your idol, it will be the thing, I'm telling, that will bring eternal death. It will bring separation from you, because the devil wants your worship. This is all, this is what this is about. He wants your worship. And boy, I remember when I was living for the devil. Oh, was I demonstrative about it? Amen. I won't say that I love the devil. My lifestyle represented what I was doing. I blasphemed God in my language. I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Couldn't nobody tell me anything. I was my own man. I was a self-made man, self-righteous. You couldn't tell me anything. I had my education. I had money. I had all those things, the right house, the right wife. I had all of that. But I come to find out, brother, look, you missed it, amen. I come to find out when I come into the true and the living God, a God that was the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, one day the devil told me one thing, and then he stood me up the next day. He duped me, amen. He pulled the rug from up under my feet, and I had to realize I was serving a lie. I want serving the true and the living God. And now I make up in my mind. I'm decisive. I don't care who it identifies me with or separate me from. I'm going to worship him. And I'm going to talk about him. Not just here, but any place that I go, I'm going to talk about him. At the workplace, wherever I go, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Oh, God, yes, sir. Folks got to know. Folks got to know who you worship. Because when they find out who you worship, it's going to happen. Something will happen. The atmosphere will change. Folks will respect the God that you serve. They may be heathen, but they're going to respect the God that you serve. You ain't got to respect me, but look, you respect the God that I serve. I don't even have to tell them that. They do that. They do that. So we see here, look what he says. Look how Jesus responded to him, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, okay, there you go. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Oh, my God. He said, you can't dupe me like this. I want you to know that the word has been written, and now I'm saying it. Amen. That you to worship the Lord thy God only, amen, and to serve him alone. That's how we got to worship him and to serve him. And everything else will fall into place. Verse 11, then the devil, what? Leaveth him. How did the devil leave you when you learn how to worship him? When you learn how to worship him, the devil can't do nothing but leave. Say, oh, man, he crazy about Jesus. He one of them Jesus freaks. Yeah, he all heavenly minded. He got Jesus on his mind. Yes, sir. I got Jesus on my mind. Amen. Yeah, I'm not double-minded, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his way. My mind is set on Jesus. I'm decisive. I'm demonstrative. Amen. I'm determined. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm being directed. Amen. I've been directed in thing. And then look what happened. It says when the devil departed from him, the Bible says that the angels came up and ministered to him. Amen. We're never alone, man. We're never alone. I want to go to the book of Revelation, and this is where we're going to close at. Revelation chapter 13. I want us to see that this is about your worship. This is all of your life is about your worship. It's about your worship, and he wants all of our worship. Amen. He wants us to have the same heart that these men had, that we come to worship him. That's what we do. We come to worship him. Hallelujah. Mm. Let it never be said that you're not a worshiper, that you're not a person that worships the Most High God, that you're a worshiper. Amen. Revelation chapter 13. Are you receiving something today? I'm getting ready to pull up out of here. I'm telling you, man, the Holy Ghost, he's been good to us. I want us to see something here. And our young people, I know Joshua, I think he might have mentioned this to me one time. Said, Dad, are you going to ever talk about the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation, it's an interesting thing, because it's written by the apostle John, and it speaks of end time events. It speaks of how this thing going to wrap up. And it speaks of this. And the word revelation means to take the cover off. to take the cover off. And so I want to take you into Revelation as we move towards the end times, as according to the Bible here. And I want to prove unto you, and to not prove, but to strengthen the foundation that we see Jesus Christ here, how he was attacked about his worship. He was trying to be deceived and duped about his worship. And this whole thing is going to be that the enemy, adversary, his whole plot, ploy, and plan is to deceive us into worshiping him. And we'll see here, if you're in 13 here, a little bit more about the book of Revelation. We know John himself was on the island of Patmos. He had been set apart, actually kind of jailed, because he was crazy about Jesus. Amen. Yeah, he was crazy. They put him out on a remote island. It's like going on one of those cruises and they take you out one of those islands. Only thing about the island, ain't nobody else out there but you. So that's where they sent him at. Yeah, they sent him out there on the island. And the Bible says on the Lord's day. Oh, y'all need to see this. Look, because somebody might want to look at this later. Go to Revelation chapter 1. We're not going to stay. We're going to come right back to where we're at here. We got to see, man. This Bible, we got to see this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. We're not going to stay here long. 9 through 11, and then we're going to move, okay? You see it? Are you there? Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. He says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. He said, I'm going through like you're going through. He said, no, we ain't alone. I'm going through. He says, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God. You hear that? He said, that's why I was there, for the word of God. I believe he was demonstrative. I believe he talked about the word. I believe he preached the word. He said, now I'm over here on Patmos. They done put me over here to shut me up. I believe he over there talking to himself. I believe he over there on the island of Patmos still talking. He said, but see, you're going to find out why this was written. He was over there on the island of Patmos, and Jesus came to him. Look at here. It says, it goes on to say, Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why he was over there. Verse 10, I was in the spirit on what? The Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Doing what? Saying. Oh, my God. Saying. The words that are in red, they're Jesus. Jesus saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like of what? Unto the Son of Man. I'm not going to get into that right there, because we can get into that and get to rolling. So the seven candlesticks represents the seven churches. Amen. And everyone that does an angel in those churches, which is the pastor. But the one that's in the midst of them is Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus was telling him everything that you see right now. So what we get ready to talk about is what God revealed unto him about the end times, what was going to take place. So, okay, let's go back over to 13, verse 1. Revelation 13, verse 1. Are you there? Now, this talks about two beasts. I want you to listen to this. We're almost at a close. He says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. This is John. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Amen. Or the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. See, one of my sons, he's into these not comic book creatures, but Batman and Superman and all those. And it's good. I like his. He has a lot. He's into that stuff. I mean, the movie side of it, not the figurines and stuff like that. No, he's more in the movie stuff. But look what God does. God gets them interested in them so they can come to Revelation and see the one that got a head like a lion and feet like a leopard. And so you see what I'm saying? He works on their imagination in the natural. So when they turn over to the supernatural, guess what? They can believe it. Matter of fact, these movies set our kids up, whether you don't know it or not, they're setting them up to believe something that's not even real. You hear what I'm saying? But this, but I believe the devil getting duped, because when they get over and open up the book of Revelation or the word of God, they gonna, what they read, they going to believe. They say, look, man, look, if Superman could do it, I know that the man that is above Superman can do it. You know what I'm saying? And Superman ain't even real. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying unto you is that God will see, I'm telling you, God can take stuff and work it together for our good. What we thought was going to be something bad, he'll take it, man, and they'll have faith, man. They'll have supernatural faith. And so we see these types of things here, and you start saying, man, I know where these creatures are going to come from. But look what it begins to say here. Look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast because he got healed like that. Look what it says. And they what? The dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all the kindreds and all the tongues and the nations. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall what? Shall do what? Worship him, whose names are what? Not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Now we done talked about this, about your name being written in the book of now one of us, this is a revelation right here. You got to understand this. Nowhere in the Bible, because we hear this and we hear preachers say it all the time. This is repeat for many of y'all, but y'all got to know this. We hear preachers say it all the time. You want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, don't you? See, this is the reality of, you study the scriptures, I double dog dare you to study the scriptures out, and you'll find out God's purpose was for you to be saved. So your name is written already in the Lamb's Book of Life. The question is it going to be blotted out? You chase the scriptures down, and you won't see anywhere where they're talking about we got to get it written in there. Nah, it's already there. You'll see 4 or 5 examples though of where it be blotted out, where it can be blotted out. And so what I want to say unto you is this. See, these folks, the idea of it is, who we worship has everything to do with our names remaining in the Lamb Book of Life. If we start worshiping the enemy, we're going to be blotted out of that. And so this damnation that was coming to these people are the people whose name were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, this is the tribulation period. This is where people had done forsook God. You know what I'm saying? They were still down here. The saints had been caught up. They up in heaven getting ready to have war with the enemy. And he down here acting the fool with those that are left behind. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't want to be left behind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to be left behind. Yeah. You can go to the movies and get that movie too called Left Behind. It's a whole series. Yeah. You look at that, you'll be saying, nah, I don't want to be left behind. No, you don't want to be left behind. See, this is the folks that's being left behind, that have been deceived and duped there, and they're starting to worship the devil and the beast and everyone that he had, the dragon that gave the beast the great power. This is what's going on. See, but now we're going to be in the by and by. We're going to be mounting up, getting ready. Amen. And those that says some those that remain, are those that are dead in Christ, those that remain going to be caught up in the air. Amen. For the first tribulation. There's a first tribulation and the second tribulation. We ain't got time to get there. Amen. We could teach on that some other time. But I want us to see this. This is where we're going to end at. I promise you. Revelation 13. Turn with me to Revelation 19. I'm sorry. Revelation 19. Get ready to get your shouting shoes on right here. Amen. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Because, you see, we're going to see how this thing going to end here. It's about our worship. It's about our worship. Are you at 19 and 11? Okay, we're going to read through verse 21. I promise you this is going to be it. He says, and I saw heaven open. This is John. And behold, a white horse. Somebody say white horse. Now, don't you remember when Jesus came riding in Jerusalem? He was riding on a donkey. A donkey is an emblem of humility. But now he's upon a horse, a white horse. A horse is an emblem of war. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, yes, sir. When he was down here, he was humble. But now he on this horse, and he getting ready to come back. I'm telling you what. I'm talking about a warrior. Amen. I'm talking about, see, you can't be a warrior unless you are a worshiper. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Somebody go get this and went down the road. You cannot be a warrior for him unless you are a worshiper. You can't be no warrior for God and not be a worshiper. You got to be demonstrative. You got to be decisive. You got to be determined about this thing. And you got to be directive. That's somebody, I'm telling you, that's somebody that's a warrior. And a warrior got to be a worshiper. And you can't do any work for God unless you done worship God. Got to be, everything flows out of your worship to him. Everything flows out of your worship. Everything. I mean, everything. Look here. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness, he do what? Judge and make war. He do it in righteousness. His eyes were what? As a flame of fire. And on his head were what? Many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vestiture, or it's almost like a vest, dipped in blood. And his name is called what? The Word of God. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon what? White horse. You're going to have your white horse too. It's if you die before the first resurrection. If you die, amen, you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. And when you come back with him, amen, there are going to be some that will remain. But if you are already died and in the Lord, you coming back mounted upon your white horse too, because you were a worshiper, amen. You ain't going to get up there by coincidence or accident. You ain't going to be on no white horse, a horse of war, an emblem, amen. It's because you a warrior, because you're ready to do war on behalf of the Most High God. You have given your life and you said, I'm a worshiper, I'm a warrior for the Most High God. Oh no, you got to learn how to do battle down here, because you're going to do battle up there. You got to know how to get in this thing, and it's going to take you becoming a worshiper of God. Oh yes, so worship will break you in a different dimension. It will give you a boldness. The Holy Ghost will come up on you when you worship the Most High God. Look what goes on here. Verse 15 says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. Verse 16, and he have on his vestiture, or his robe, and on his thigh a name written, called what? King of kings and Lord of lords. I just thought about Herod. When them boys came over there, they disregarded Herod. Who are you, man? We come to see the king. Herod was the king. I said, now we're going to see the baby that's wrapped up in swaddling clothes. We're looking for Mary, son. We don't care who you are. We're going to look for the king. Because he is what? The King of kings. And what? The Bible said he's going to be on his white horse. He going to have it on his vestiture and down his leg. King of kings and Lord of lords. He get ready to make war. Verse 17. He says, and I saw an angel standing in the what? The sun. An angel. Both of them are created beings. He created the sun. He created the angel. He says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Can you see the scene? The angel that's standing in the sun, he says, come and get yourself together for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know what the birds and stuff are going to eat? They're going to eat all those folks that worshiped the enemy. It's going to be some for all. They're going to be spoils for all. We're going to go down and sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for the saints that went ahead of us, we gonna all gather ourselves for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So he was up in heaven. He said, look, we're getting ready, because we're gonna win this battle. Jesus Christ mounted up the saints with him, all of us on our white horse. He leading us with the sword of the Word of God in his mouth. And I mean, the one that comes to judge with righteousness and also with the power of the Most High God. He's coming that way. And we're coming with it. And now he calls.
He has the angels called to the fowls of the air, those that are up here with us in heaven, the birds that are up here, the fowls that are up here, because we're all going back as an army. I think about that movie, The Lion, one of these Chronicles of Narnia, where they were defeated and the lions. Boy, when you got these little children, look at some of this stuff. Aslan had been killed, and he fell out. And this little girl had this little thistle thing, and she gave it back to him. Man, he woke up and rawr. And when he reared, everything that the devil had put in a stone type of way, it all came alive at the roar of Absalom, who was representing the lion, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look what it says here. It says, verse 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings. He's talking about these fowls of the air, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men. You see how these are people that were deceived. They were kings and captains and mighty men. We got to be careful what's taking us up. The Bible says that the Lord thy God is the captain of our salvation. You remember when Joshua was getting ready to go into Jericho and he ran up on that angel? And the angel had his sword drawn. He says, are you for us or against us? He says, neither. He says, neither. He says, I'm the captain of the Lord of the hosts. It was a theophany. A theophany. It was Jesus Christ himself standing here in the form. And he's talking to Joshua. And he told Joshua, take off your shoes. Joshua took off his shoes. And the Bible says he bowed down when he was revealed and worshiped him when he knew who he was. There's going to be times in your life you're going to be doing life. You're just going to be doing life. You're going to be tired. I'm telling you, man, you're going to be saying, Lord, I'm trying to live this thing right. I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to do what you tell me to do. And you're going to run right into him. You're going to run right into him. And I believe in that season, your worship goes to a whole nother level. When you run into him, when he manifests himself and show himself to you. See, that's when we're walking in righteousness and holiness. When we've presented our body as a living sacrifice, I believe that he'll show himself unto you. He'll talk to you. He'll reveal himself unto you. And you'll know that it's him. And I'm telling you, you won't have no other choice but to worship him, to get prostrate before him and saying that you're such a loving God that you'll come down out of heaven and manifest yourself to little old me. He'll do it. I know he'll do it. Oh, he done it for me. He'll do it for you. And I desire for him to do it again. I want to meet with him regularly. Let's look at this. We're about to close. Look at verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had what? Received the mark of the beast, and them that what? Worshipped his image. You hear what I'm saying? This was all about worship. This was all about worship. It says, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I don't have time. We can go into 20. And I saw an angel. You hear that? Let's read just a little bit of this. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. There comes the final judgment day in verse 11 when folks will stand before the great white throne. And I want you to read that in your own time. I want to be just mindful of the time that we have and have had today. I ask you to close your Bibles at this time. Hallelujah. And when you get them closed, if you would just come and stand. Hallelujah. Just come, just stand right where you're at. I'm sorry, just stand right where you're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has God been good to us, church? I hope that everyone had received that which the Lord has placed in the bosom of my heart. The word, I pray that it had came forth with clarity and accuracy. That we would learn and aspire to be men and women of worship. That when we come into this house, or even in your own house, or wherever you're at, that we will understand and know that we will be no longer ignorant of what it means to be worshipers of the Most High God. Why do we come to church? We come to church to worship Him. This is what this is about, church. And the Lord has been really dealing with my heart about our activity, you know, us coming into this house more than what we come. I'm believing God in 2014 that we're going to come back with our midweek service at some point in time in 2014. I'm going to prepare your heart. He says, Pastor, I know all the excuses why people can't come, but you teach them why they need to be there. If they are worshipers, they will be decisive about it. You hear what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. This world will put stuff on us and we take it. We deal with it. Whatever it is, whoever you owe some money, they can change the rules. And guess what? You got to agree with it. Whatever it is. And the Lord's been dealing with me. He says, you sit here, you're trying to pacify this church. And, oh, they might be doing too much. They got kids. He says, baloney. They kids need to know how to worship me. The kids need to know what it means for us to come up in the house of the Lord in the middle of the week. We don't relegate God to Sunday if we feel like it. He says, you got to teach the people how to be worshipers, that when they are not in my house, they going to be in my house. They going to carry my house. See, it ain't about this building. That ain't what I'm talking about. It's about us assembling ourselves. He can do more with us as a team than as individuals. He wants to grow and build our faith. And he builds it. One of the ways he builds it by bringing us together. Allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us much as he has taught us today. So prepare your hearts. I don't know when the date is, but I believe that it's going to happen next year. I believe that the Sonship School of the Firstborn is going to open back up. I said, well, God, but you know I got a job. I don't want to hear that. I'll bring you out of that job. Extend your faith, son. Do what I called you to do. I like the song. I know we don't have Lily here, but I like that song. That just brought me to my knees. Will you worship me? Will you put everything, I don't know what exactly, but put everything aside. And I like the one, am I too late? Is it too late, God? I want to tell every one of you right now, it's not too late. It's not too late. I want to encourage you. I want to say Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Before we leave this place, I want you to go have a very Merry Christmas. Be blessed. Know that you are a worshiper of the Most High God. And know that this season is all about Him. Share your love with your family and your friends. But when you're talking to Him, talk to Him about Jesus. Say something as the Holy Spirit would direct you to say. Bring up Jesus. Hey, if you got music going in your house, look, now play some Jesus music. Play some Jesus music in your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.